Pride Daily.
Hi there, I'm Kev McGrath, and this is Pride Daily. A homophobic TikToker's crying his little heart out over AI videos portraying him as gay. Next, as video games firm Electronic Arts is sold to a Saudi-led consortium, is their LGBTQ+ content at risk? And Sylvester Stallone's wife says the children of Hollywood stars turn out transgender because their lives lack structure. Sylvester's clearly the brains of the outfit. Pride Daily is the world's only daily LGBTQ+ news podcast, bringing you the top three global stories in just 2 minutes. Everyone's welcome. Search Pride Daily in your pod app.
Okay, guys. Welcome to the very first episode of If These Ovaries Could Talk. Bum, bum, bum. Our podcast where we talk about making babies, making a family the non-traditional way. So we want to introduce ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm Jamie. I am a lesbian, which
so
I think
gay.
Goes with the program for this podcast. So gay. I have a wife, Anne, and we have a 3-year-old daughter, and we have one on the way, which I'm pregnant with.
Also so pregnant.
So that's kind of me in a nutshell. All right. Anyway, and okay, Robin, okay. How about you?
My name is Robin. Also a lesbian. Mm-hmm. I have a wife named Mary, and we have 2 kids, an 8-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old boy. They are killing us slowly, but we love them.
As they do.
And I am a writer and an actress. And
I mean, you're amazing.
I mean, God, I love you for that. Jamie.
Yes.
It was your
Robin.
Idea for the podcast.
Yes, it was my idea. I came up with this idea because I actually went through a long journey to get pregnant. I went through some infertility, which you're going to hear a bit about in our episode today. And during this long journey, I started feeling the need to hear other people's stories like mine. I wanted to hear from people that were going through the same thing as me. And I had just recently discovered podcasts, so I was really looking in podcasts. I did so many searches, and all the searches that I came up with were heteronormative. To throw in a big word into this.
You're not even sure if that's the right word.
I'm not.
You're not sure.
I'm not sure. But it was all straight couples and it was all straight women. And a lot of these stories had to do with their, you know, like husbands who were like resisting going to fertility treatment. Which
just go to the clinic.
Like we know we're lesbians, we're gonna have to go to the clinic anyway. So that whole struggle that they were dealing with, I couldn't relate. So there were so many things in these people's stories that I just couldn't relate to, and I was frustrated and feeling alone. And I thought, you know what? We need to tell our stories. And I know so many couples who have gotten pregnant the lesbian way.
Like me.
Like you. So that's how this all came about. And then I told you about it. And now it's like really happening.
I know we have like a logo. all right. So let's talk about our very first guest. We think the best thing to do for our first guest is to talk about one of our hosts. So it's Jamie's turn today. So it's going to be Jamie and her wife.
Anne. So Anne is coming to talk to us. She's very excited to be here. We're going to tell you our story, and, you know, I hope it doesn't bore you too much. I hope
we're really selling the crap out of this podcast, huh?
I hope you guys can get something out of it.
I hope you have low expectations.
No, I think you'll be entertained,
right.
If anything.
So well, let's get to it.
Let's bring in Anne. All right, here we go.
Okay, guys, so Anne and Jamie.
Hello, that's us.
So before we get to your fertility stories, give us, if you had to give the elevator pitch of your relationship, each of you, about your relationship, let's start with Anne. What would be your elevator pitch?
Like in a couple sentences?
Thanks for the coaching.
I'm just trying to
help
you out.
That might be the pitch right there.
You know, because I'm here every day, Anne, so I know the deal.
I would love to say relaxed, and I do feel that it is, but I think a kid kind of, for me, reduces some of my relaxation. But I would say we're a relaxed couple. I think we joke and say that people don't really have any problem inviting us to go somewhere because we're just...
We go with the flow.
We go with the flow.
Like,
they're
sure.
easy.
You get a lot of invites places?
We do.
We're like the couple people like, yeah, invite Ann and Jamie. They don't care.
Yeah. They're not going to. They don't care.
We do joke that.
They're not going to break shit.
Yeah. But they don't care what room they get.
Yeah, they don't care what food we make. They'll eat anything. Yeah, it's fine. And Rose is entertaining, so yeah.
So your top line is, they'll eat anything.
Yeah.
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 All right, Jamie, what's yours?
No, I think that also as a couple, Anne is the more stable one, which I've told you about. Anne is known as the stable one. Like, Anne is the one that everybody's going to call in times of crisis, or really for anything, I think.
Yeah, stable comes from when I asked Jamie to marry me. I had to ask her father first, and he said, yeah, you're very stable.
Because, like, you want to be described as stable.
Yeah, it's very sexy.
I think you're sexy. Yeah. So, Anne is the stable one, and I'm the flighty one. That's kind of us in a nutshell, I'd say. I don't think anybody would ever call me for really anything. They'd call Anne first. I really think that's the truth. It's pretty true. I'm just the...
I'd call you to do this podcast.
Right.
So...
That's good.
So your phone basically never rings, is what you're saying.
Not really. I mean, I get put on group texts.
Because Anne added you?
No, I think that, yeah. I think even my parents go to Anne now.
So, if they're trying to schedule something or planning dates, yes,
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, I'm just the...
If it's a surprise birthday party for Anne, you get a call?
I get a call, and I think they're like annoyed that they have to deal with me about it. Oh, God, here we go. We have to have Jamie help us with this.
Jamie's mom's coming to town at the end of the month, and I've had to tell Jamie 10 times that, no, you're off that day. You're not working.
So before we get into, like, your fertility story, you're pregnant right now, Jamie.
Yes.
So, like, are you just, like, 100 times more forgetful
and
not present?
I am a lot more forgetful. I am right now. I'm noticing. I have pregnancy brain. I don't know if you've noticed.
Placenta head.
Is that, like, worse than your regular head? I mean...
I think so. I'm forgetting things. And scheduling is really tough for me right now. It's crazy.
Well, for our listeners, she did get lost on the way here for the podcast.
And I've been here three times.
Three times.
And our daughter is going to school around the corner.
And we live in this neighborhood. I walk down this street probably 10, 15 times a month.
Oh my God, this is like my daughter's future. She got lost on the way to the bathroom in our apartment.
Yeah. I mean, I got lost on the way to school one time in fourth grade. I had to have the police take me to school. I mean, that's me. Yeah, that's sad.
Oh, God.
It's so sad, but
true. All right. I mean, I feel like we got a good snapshot of you, too. So let's talk fertility, because we are on If These Ovaries Could Talk. Thank you very
much. Brilliant name.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Come on. All right. So let's talk about it. So just to bring us in. So Anne, you have one daughter, and Anne had the first baby.
Correct.
Jamie's now pregnant. So let's talk us a little bit about that story. Like, how do you decide? How that all happened? How was your pregnancy? Blah, blah, blah.
I think that the decision was primarily made by me, only because I'm older. And when Jamie and I met, I never even thought I'd really get married. Certainly didn't think I would ever have children.
I think that...
You didn't want children?
Well, no, I think the words were, I asked her, do you want to have kids? And you said, well, I think it's too late for me. I think that was it.
That was probably it.
You were with that accent.
She was 37. And that was really that. I was just getting to know her, so that was really,
yeah.
So the way she talked to me in my head.
By the way, in your head, she sounds like she works at a garage, but that's fine.
Yeah,
I think it's too late for me.
Yeah, yo.
And I'm like related to the Gotti family, or the Jersey Housewives.
With that
I'm not sure.
She was also known as the teacher to all my friends because she's a teacher.
All right, so you...
Yeah, so I never thought I was going to have kids. And then when we got married, I realized, holy camoly. And we had friends that were same-sex couples that were having kids also or talking about having kids. And I was, wait, I can do this. And...
Did you want to have kids? Like, had you sort of, like, sublimated it? Like, is that the right word?
Well, we had... Yeah, I don't... That was a good word, though.
I feel like if I used it right, I feel like I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think we talked about having kids and saying, yes, well, we will have kids. We just assumed it was going to be me.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved kids. My, you know, being 37 when we met, I had good friends that already had kids. So I was always around kids, and I always loved kids, and I got along with them pretty well. And we got married. I was like, Jamie was actually away doing a show in D.C., right after we got married or shortly after, and I was home and I was like, I think I do. So I was really thinking about it kind of on my own without her. And then she came home from the show.
You're making family decisions by yourself.
Yeah, that came out of the blue for me.
Yeah. I think she came.
You're like on a Disney cruise, like, na, yeah, na, basically. Na, babies.
Yeah. Yeah, she came back.
For those of you at home who don't know, I'm a performer, if you didn't gather that.
Yeah. She came back, and I think we went to a bar for happy hour, and I was like, I think I want to have a baby.
It was literally that. It was a bar happy hour.
What? Really? And so we were like, okay, we're going to get started. Let's go.
So, yeah, so it bumped it up. That meant
so you were like, hands down right away, I'm going first.
Yes, because of my age.
Okay.
Yeah. So at that point, you were 40.
Yes.
41.
Well, I was probably 39 because it took us like a year. No, it had Rose when I was 42. 40. Yeah, I was 40.
Or 41. I don't know. Around there.
Okay. So, all right. So you're doing it. Well, tell us about how'd you go about it? Who did you pick sperm donor? What did you do? Give us all that business.
We contemplated a friend, and mm-hmm. we never contemplated. Both of us have brothers. We never even thought of using a family member. That never entered our minds.
I mean, but for those, you know.
Sorry. Alienating viewers.
We don't judge at all.
I just did a little bit. I'm sorry.
It's okay. My mom actually wanted us to use my brother for its second. It was a thing.
I should say it freaks me out because my family's super messed up.
I mean, it was just, I couldn't imagine that.
Also, I don't have a brother, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we contemplated a good friend of ours, the guy who married us, who we're still really close with. But then we were nervous about having someone, and like, we already have two families involved. We have two Christmases, two Thanksgivings. Mm-hmm. Does this add a third? If at any time Jamie's family's on the West Coast, if we wanted to move to the West Coast, would we have to, you know, how would we deal with that with someone who is, you know, playing the dad role? Because like we say things like the Rose doesn't have a dad, she doesn't have a father because
that's two moms.
Yeah, she's two moms. That's a particular role that someone's plays, and sure. A sperm donor obviously doesn't play that
role.
And
this particular friend of ours, his parents are very involved too, and they would have totally been involved. All the logistics of it was pointed us towards an anonymous donor.
We tried a couple of smaller banks that were other people had used, but we had very general criteria. But even with our general criteria, we didn't find someone that fit in the smaller banks. We wanted light eyes, light hair, and under 5'10".
And you wanted under 5'10", so you wanted to keep the short gene?
Yeah, well, because I'm very short. You can't see me. I'm extremely short, and so I was afraid of
4'11", having... so, I mean, it's not
Are you seriously 4'11"?
I'm 4'11". Now everybody knows.
It's better than thinking you're like 4'2".
Yeah, I think I read a little bit taller. I mean, I'd like to think that. Yeah, but so I didn't want a huge...
I find that a lot of the clinics, like that, almost everybody's 5'10", because I think there's like some. I mean, because my experience in picking the donor was it turned into almost this like Aryan Nation thing. Like you start trying to weed things out.
It turns into some crazy Superman search.
I was like, oh, eczema.
Acne was a conversation with us. I mean, this guy had acne. Do we really want that for our child? Like, really?
I know. Meanwhile, like Mary and I, my wife and I, talked about the fact that if we used like both of our DNA, you'd be like riddled with cancer, alcoholism, like just like depression, you know, Alzheimer's, like all the things we would kick somebody out for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's really what it came down to. We got into this search, and it was like all of a sudden it became like choosing Superman.
Sure.
And then one day we said, you know what? This is so silly. If we had used our friend that we had been talking about, he has nothing that we're looking for.
He didn't have light eyes. He didn't have light. Well, Jamie and I both have light
hair,
eyes.
So we wanted to both look like the child. That's why that light hair, light eyes. It has nothing to do with anything else that sounds bad. could sound bad. But we said, you know, our friend, he has none of these attributes, but we love him. So it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So that brought us a little bit back down to a grounded state so that we could actually choose someone.
Yeah, and we wound up choosing them based on the audio that we heard.
And it's make or break the audio, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had this guy all picked out one time, and then we heard his audio, and he sounded like like Minnie Mouse, and we were like, oh no, we like kicked him out for that.
We also wanted an open donor, so that also reduced our numbers, so
that, significantly smaller. Yeah.
And significantly more expensive.
And open donor means that the child can contact them when they turn 18, just in case.
Okay, so you have your donor if you went to the big bank.
Yes. Big bank, big bucks.
Big bank, big bucks. Lots of shipping.
Big bucks, no whammies.
And then, okay, talk to us next. What did you do midwife? Did you do IUI? All that.
Well, we started with IUI. And
we started with a small, we had a small fertility clinic in the city that we went to. It was like a private boutique style clinic, really.
It was recommended through one of Jamie's friends who was older and was very successful with them. So that's what, that's why we went to this.
So we went to them.
You'll go anywhere where somebody has made a baby. You're like, they made a baby and they take my insurance, I'm in.
Right, right. And my friend was even older than Anne. Not that Anne was crazy old, but so that's where that came from. And so we started with IUI.
I started with IUI. We did 4 or 5 rounds of IUI and it wasn't taking. And then basically, I don't know if it was after the 5th or maybe we did a 6th of IUI.
I don't think so.
I think so. I think it was 5. We basically said, all right, we'll do 1 IVF. And when we signed up for the IVF, like, insurance had been covering everything.
Sure, yeah.
So naive Anne and naive Jamie.
They didn't sit you down?
No, we just thought, like, okay, like, we're good. We'll just do an IVF. This is going to be awesome. And we'll do 1 round of IVF. And if it doesn't work, then it's not meant to be. Then we move
we'll
on to
up,
you.
Right.
Like, this is
go to our second uterus.
Because I'm supposed to be a piece of cake because I'm so young.
Yes. Dun dun dun. Foreshadowing.
So we start the process of IVF, and that's when we found out that insurance didn't cover it. And
how far into the process were you when you discovered that?
We were halfway through the cycle.
The cycle, and so we had
like you're already on meds,
already on drugs,
already on meds, and
but you had to pay for the meds and stuff, though. How did you not?
The meds were covered.
Okay,
except for like a small fee. I think maybe we had to shell out like $100.
Yeah, and the meds are like being delivered from like
via with ice, dry ice.
Yeah, dry ice from Tasmania or something, like, you know, with a courier coming in even at 10 o'clock at night. It's like crazy. So we were in it, and then we
already
found out the cost.
Giving injections.
How did you find out the cost? Did they like you just got a bill or
no? Finally, they sat us down in an office and like. Because what happened was we were starting this cycle as an IUI cycle.
Uh-huh.
And at our first appointment or something, the doctor was like, listen, you've done so many IUIs. Why don't we try IVF? You're already in this cycle. We can just switch it over. So it kind of just like,
we switched
to IVF.
Our doctor, he was a great guy. We like him
we're
very
stay
much.
Away from that.
We like him very much. And he was, he's a wonderful doctor. But I think when it came down to doctor and relationship and patient care versus scientist, he fell more on the scientist side of it. And his theory was, and this you'll hear more about this when Jamie talks about her attempts at having a baby with him, that it was the 5 rounds of IUI didn't work. So in his mind as a scientist, we need to change it up.
Straight
we
up
need
math.
To do something different.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
didn't work. If what I'm doing is not working, I need to change what I'm doing. So.
Well, don't you find also that I think that sometimes, and I think this is one of the issues with lesbian fertility, is they are looking at it like they're used to dealing with fertility problems versus our problem is just we don't have a penis.
Right.
So it's like it might take a straight couple a year to get pregnant, but that doesn't mean there's fertility issues. It just sometimes takes a minute.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think they're very quick to ratchet it up sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they're dealing with fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
But they might have because of your age, maybe.
Yeah. So he ratcheted it up.
Okay.
Very quickly. And we realized the cost. And I mean, I'm a teacher. Jamie is a performer and now also a teacher. So you can kind of figure out how much money we have in the bank living in New York City.
So who cried first when he's...
I think it's always like I said when we were talking about our relationship, Anne is the more serious one, so she got it better than me. I'm, you know, like, well, we're not going to think about the money once we have a baby, and you know, and Anne is being more realistic. Yeah, so that's how that kind of went down.
So I mean, and then also the stability comes in that I am a teacher, a New York City teacher, so I have TRS and the pension fund that we were able to.
Oh, so you borrowed.
But we borrowed from my pension fund. Because
we had to pay for it because we were in it.
We were in it.
Yeah, right? Because you already started the meds and stuff. Yeah.
I was like going down on the table the next day. They're like, you owe us. I'm like, can we put it on a credit card and get miles so then we could take
free
vacation
flights
after?
For a lifetime?
Yeah.
That we won't be able to go on. So, okay, so you do the IVF. Any issues? How'd that go?
No, it went great. I mean, it was, well, it was good.
It worked.
It was so. Well, the fun part of it was I was getting the IVF done. We were getting the implantation. Say it like that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And that day
they call it the transfer.
The transfer.
That's what it is. The transfer.
The transfer.
Yes.
The transfer was happening on a Thursday morning.
That's like from the petri dish into your pipes.
Yes.
Yes.
Got it.
And 2 hours after that, we were going to be on a flight to South Carolina to spend 5 days with my entire family, which my entire family's together once a year. And so I did that, and it was one of those things where, like, you go in and they put you under.
No, they put you under tip for the retrieval.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
For the transfer, it's like a regular insemination.
Yeah.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that.
Well, it's a little bit more. They have a TV screen, so they
can put it in the right spot.
Yeah, they put a camera into your uterus, and you watch it go in.
How many did they put in?
So that's a
three.
Detail we should talk about. So, but she only got three out of
you got three. You got three viable.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and only one really looked viable, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And two of them were like,
but they were like, we'll put them in anyway.
So he said, let's put them all in together because there's more chance of one taking when there are others.
Sure.
Competing, I guess.
Good Lord, can you imagine if you'd had triplets?
Oh, we were scared. We were scared. Yeah. Every single time we went through IVF, we were scared. But that's, here we go again.
Yeah, so we did it, and then we got on a plane to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and
you had a baby.
Two weeks later.
It worked.
It worked, and we were really surprised, and I was excited and scared and like, holy camoly. Am I allowed to curse?
That's, I mean, we don't know.
I think that's cursing,
right, we'll
but
see. Holy camole!
It is if you're a teacher.
I guess so.
It was a little kid in the corner. I said camole.
Yeah.
So it worked, and that was around April, and our due date was actually Jamie's birthday, December 16th.
Yep.
My due date was Jamie's birthday, and the fun part of that is Jamie's one of those people that likes the birthday month.
Yeah. You know, oh my God, me too.
High five.
Leo. So
Leo the only house. One. Sag.
Yeah.
So we're like, you just lost your birthday altogether.
My month is done.
Yeah.
Because she was born on the 18th.
She was born 2 days later.
So actually, Anne went into labor on the 16th, on my birthday.
She's ruining your birthday. Thanks a lot, Anne.
Well, I didn't know I was in labor, so we still had a birthday celebration for her that night. It was the most uncomfortable dinner I've ever sat through in my entire life. The only good part of the dinner was...
She didn't tell me. How did I know?
The only good part of the dinner was I was so far along, I was like, I can have a beer. So
had one
I
beer.
Did have a beer.
And she was in labor. I was in labor
with Jamie's parents sitting at Tamarind, which is one of
our favorite
restaurants.
You were just like going from one side of the seat to the other.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I was like, it feels so pressure. It's weird.
I can't. And I was actually supposed to go to work the next day, and I went home. I was leaving work on the 16th, and my principal on the way out said to me, she's like, Anne, can you please stay home tomorrow? I don't like having you in the building. It's making me nervous. So then when I went home that night after the dinner, I said to Jamie, I'm like, I think I'm going to stay home tomorrow. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Jamie's like, great, thanks.
Yeah, please stay home.
Yeah.
Anne also is one of those people that can get hurt, and you, like, she'll break her arm and you won't know for about a month.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I had a broken toe for like 2 weeks, and I was like, something's wrong. I think this hurts. Something's wrong.
Love is love is love is love.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Hey, it's Hillary Frank from The Longest Shortest Time, an award-winning podcast about parenthood and reproductive health. We talk about things like sex ed, birth control, pregnancy, bodily autonomy, and of course, kids of all ages. But you don't have to be a parent to listen. If you like surprising, funny, poignant stories about human relationships and, you know, periods, The Longest Shortest Time is for you. Find us in any podcast app or at longestshortesttime.com.
Love is love.
All right, so you have the one baby, all's well that ends well. Now, it was definitely, there was no, like, I'm going to try again because of your age. It was like, now it's your turn.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you decide to start again.
I had no desire to try again.
Yeah, so Rose comes out and she's a wild child.
She came out very angry.
That's how she got the name Rose. She was bright red. I mean, she was
on fire.
Yeah, she's on fire. The kid's on fire. And you've met her. You know, Robin.
If I could sing, I would break into This Girl Is On Fire.
Yes.
Little Alicia Keys.
That's her.
And then with the goat song.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, we knew we needed to try with me, like, pretty early on because I'm not young either. At this point, I was 36 when we finally had her. So we thought, all right, well, let's, I think a good age difference is 2 years, so we decided we'd start trying about 18
We were also too afraid to start earlier because Rose was a wild child.
Yeah, yes.
It was tough. We also have a dog.
So it took you 6 months the first time, so you figure, you know, probably going to be about the same.
And I just figured it was going to be a piece of cake. I don't know why. I just thought it was going to go so smooth. I'm only 36. Because
I feel like nobody assumes you're going to have fertility issues.
Right.
You spend your entire childhood being told, like, keep your knees closed because you're going to get pregnant. Right. I mean, although it's just less applicable.
I was afraid
lesbians.
Of getting pregnant my whole childhood. I mean,
and so then
not
it's
childhood,
like
but.
Such a shock to how much sex were you having during your childhood, Jamie? That's another podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. Yeah, no.
All right. So you're not afraid to be pregnant. You want to be pregnant.
Right. So we go to the same doctor and
it was halfway through that we ran out of sperm.
We still had like 2 vials. Oh, that was how it started out. We had like 3 vials left of our donor, and we wanted them to have the same donor.
Sure.
So we had like 3 vials left. So we go to our doctor, and we explain that situation. And so he said, well, your best option then is
to
go.
The scientist talking.
Yes, is to go straight to IVF, and it should work the first try.
Like, remember the part where we borrowed from our pension? Yeah. Can we try some other options first?
Right. Well, so he, you know, and he laid out.
We didn't do an IUI first.
No, we went straight to IVF. Okay. The first, I think it was 2 vials left.
Big bucks, no whammies.
And he used, I guess they used 1 vial for the IVF. Anyway, so he said, "Well, let's go straight to IVF because you're 36.
So you're like,
you
I'm gonna get
fine.
Pregnant in a month.
Yeah,
this will be great.
Basically. So we do. We took out another loan against your pension.
Oh yeah, poor pension.
Uh-huh. It's crazy.
And I just have to work till I'm 80 now.
Mm-hmm. Listen, it's good for you.
She loves to work. And
I'll see you on the cruise line at 75. That'll be
the sight. So we go straight to IVF. Of course, the meds affect me tremendously. I'm a wreck. I hated the whole process. I had
extremely emotional.
I had like all the side effects. It's
I
just
depression.
I was crying. I had depression. I was nauseous from the meds.
Oh, sounds so fun.
Oh, it was bad. But we get through that. I harvested, like, in the retrieval, they got, like, I want to say, like, 18 eggs.
Now, is that the most expensive part is the harvesting?
Yes. Yeah.
Because that you also have to go into anesthesia, so you're just paying a doctor for that also.
You're in a 20 grand? What are you in for that?
For 1 round of IVF.
For harvesting.
It's
all inclusive?
Yeah. So like for the entire round of retrieval and transfer plus anesthesiologist, you're looking at like 11,000 to 15,000.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then we're also, because we're lesbians, paying for the sperm.
Sure.
Right. We could be living in a mansion right now.
Yeah. Right. Totally, in New York City.
Because you wouldn't have spent that money on other things.
Right.
Like beer.
Yeah. Like going out to dinners.
Exactly. So I harvested, I think, like 18 eggs, something like that.
Yeah, I think it was a little smaller, but yeah.
That's a lot of eggs, 15. Isn't it? Is that like...
It's not. I think that's kind of normal.
Huh.
for like a normal person.
So now walk me through this. Do they inseminate all 18 of them? No. And then they hold them?
So, well, they harvest, they take them all out. Then they hold them in the petri dishes and they inseminate, yes, all 18.
All at once, right?
Yes, sorry. And then they watch them grow over 5 days. Well, for us, it was 5 days. Some places only do 3 days.
Okay.
So for me, 5 made it.
Of 18.
Of 18.
Jeez.
And then when you go in there for the transfer, they show you the pictures of all 5 of them and they say, listen, you have, you really have 2 really good viable ones.
We actually did 2 transfers from the first.
Right. That's because we have 5.
Sure.
So he's like, you have 2 really viable ones, and then these 3 just don't look that great. So I recommend we put 3 in this time. 1 good one.
And 2
and
shitty
ones.
2
of these little shitty ones. I think that's how it went, right? Mm-hmm. So the first one, we put 3 in.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, it's our first try, so we're like, oh my God, I hope we don't get triplets.
I know, that's right? Yeah, because you got a kid already.
You know, at this point, I'm still so optimistic that everything's going to work out.
Well, because as soon as you went to IVF over here, it worked.
It
so
worked.
That's your experience.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
Sure.
So,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So 3 go in and doesn't work.
Okay.
So that's the first try. Then after that, we still have those 2 left. So we do another transfer, which is another.
It's a couple of grand.
Yeah.
But it's not the transfer in.
It's not
very expensive.
Yeah. So they put the rest in. Doesn't work.
Ooh.
So that's now we're in this lots of money. And that's the only thing that's really bothering me at this point in this journey was like the amount of money we had spent on this. That was frustrating. But I hadn't lost hope. I wasn't like in that place.
It's because it's like you're on a roller coaster and you're so far in that you're almost like, well, I don't know. I've waited this long. I'm not going to like pull myself out now. Like you got to keep going.
Right.
Yeah. And you've also spent so much.
Yeah. You're all in.
So, but at this point, we're still optimistic. It just, that didn't work out. So now we're going to switch to IUI because we know it's covered and we still had like 1 vial of sperm. So we used that one. The IUI didn't work.
Wait, so you went from IVF back down to IUI just because you were like, this is cheaper. We've got this vial.
Yeah.
We just had no money to do.
Then we're at a standstill because we're out of sperm. And the donor is retired from the sperm
so
bank.
For our listeners, like if you're at a bank, they want to limit the number of people. And so at a certain point, they only have them in the program for like, 6 months to a year max?
Yeah.
Because I think one of my kids has like 19 siblings that we know of.
Oh, my God.
So
that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. So, anyway, you can buy them out of retirement.
Yeah.
Did you buy them out of retirement?
Yeah. So we bought them out of
retirement. Which, by the way, I didn't learn until after we had already switched to another donor for our second kid.
That's annoying.
The way it works is you have to, you call the sperm bank, and then the sperm bank contacts them and see if they're willing to come out of retirement because it's a sibling situation.
So funny, come out of retirement.
And he did, that's what Jamie and I were like, see, he is a nice guy. He's a really great guy. He's doing this for us.
But then there's a waiting period, though, right?
Yes.
Because then they have to test all the business.
And it costs money, too.
The waiting period?
Well, you have to now, since you're bringing him out of retirement, you're liable for all the medical costs to do the medical testing on him again. The sperm bank
because
won't
they have to
do
retest him.
They have to retest him for everything. So we have to pay for that. So there's another chunk of change.
Can you come
right
and go?
There.
So then when we're in this waiting period and we're getting ready for the sperm was getting ready to be delivered. It was almost the quarantine
period
was
6
almost
months.
Over and I had to call the sperm bank. So I'm on the phone with the sperm bank saying we're going to need to set up a delivery and the guy at the sperm bank is like, do you want to use the sperm that you have here in storage?
Shut.
Yeah. We had forgotten that we had kept some at the sperm bank for storage. We hadn't sent it all to our
My wallet and my
doctor.
Heart just broke.
Yeah. So we
I feel like you should have known better.
I know.
I mean, that's such Jamie's a thing.
I'm Jamie. Very disappointed in myself.
It's such
really
a thing for me
ball.
To do. Yeah. So... So I don't remember how many vials there were, but it was
3.
It was 3.
So you had 3 in storage. You got more from him out of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're set on the sperm front.
Then we were set.
Yeah.
So
what did you end up going back to IUI?
So we went back to IUI. We did.
Now you're like, we have sperm for days. So who
cares? We did a lot of, we got to the end of that too, though.
It's a nail biter.
It was tough. We did various rounds of IUI with different drugs in each round, and all of the drugs seemed to have problems for me. Like, it sucked. and I was on injections for I feel like a year and a half.
What drugs? What they were? This, in IUI, you did drugs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
With what? What were they? To try to do more eggs.
To get those eggs flowing, get those eggs going. So like we can name about some of this. Lupron, Menopur, however you say it. God, there's so many.
The basic Clomid.
Clomid, right.
So
I forgot
each
about
round
that.
Was like a different, trying out like a different drug, which all of them sucked for me.
Like, so you didn't respond well to, like, you weren't getting multiple eggs, weren't dropping?
Actually, it was doing what it needed to do.
They just weren't happening.
It's just made my feel body terrible. Was out of whack, and I was having side effects from all the drugs. Loops.
God, Anne, this must have been such a fun time for you.
It was lovely.
Did you drink a lot of beer? And scream at your first child.
Yeah. Well, we were already drunk all the time because our child was so wild. So there's that. Yeah. No, it was
that. That was a slight exaggeration.
Yeah. No. Yes.
We were just drunk half the time.
We were able to hold down steady jobs. So.
Yeah. No, we're not.
So then you're definitely not an alcoholic.
We're very healthy people. All right.
Just kidding. But anyways, no one's an alcoholic.
But so it was many, many rounds of IUI and dealing with emotions and dealing with my body not working. And I think throughout it all, we both kept pretty even keeled about the whole infertility thing. And mm-hmm. we never got a diagnosis of what was wrong. They never knew what was wrong. It was just unexplained infertility. Nobody had an answer for why it wasn't
there was
working.
No like tilted pelvis or
nothing.
Any of that or uterus
no.
or whatever that is.
No issues that you could find.
Not happening.
Just unexplained infertility, which is frustrating because then you don't know where to go with it. There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
You just have to keep showing up to that little doctor's office where they know you
where
failed
everybody
again.
Knows you.
You know, hey, Jamie, how you doing? Well, here I am.
18th time's the charm.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they give you that look when you come in, like, oh.
It's the worst. I never really got to that really down place that a lot of people say they get to. And I'm glad. In the end, I was getting there.
Sure.
I felt it going there. So we switched doctors. So we ended up doing another round of IVF.
Oh, you did?
Booyah.
We did. So I...
Was your pension just like... Come on, Anne, leave me alone.
Yeah.
You kind of exactly. have to retire, for God's sakes.
Yeah, when we were running low on sperm, we did another round of IVF. That was last summer this
last
time.
Last summer, yeah.
Because we
August.
Were waiting to hear when we were at the beach with our friends. That was it was that time that when I got the negative result from that one, I got low.
That's when you stopped.
I got really depressed.
Yeah.
For the first time, I got into a bad place. And then we had a meeting with our doctor, and he said, listen, this is what the deal is. I had done over 10 rounds of IUI, I think.
Jeez.
Three IVFs, well,
really?
Two retrievals
two
and three
retrievals,
transfers. And he was like, something has to change. So he said, you know, I'm looking at this like a scientist. You have to change either, you know, he started talking egg donors and...
We know the sperm works because we have Rose.
Right.
Or Anne can carry it or
like take Anne's egg and you carry it.
But now Anne's too old and blah, blah, blah. So it was all...
Your eggs were dusty.
Was,
according to him.
His big solution was egg donor. And I kept trying to say to him, look, it's not that I want to be pregnant. I do want a child with my DNA.
Sure.
I do. And that sounds selfish to some.
No, it's your.
But that's
what
that
you
was
wanted.
What I wanted
yeah.
the
yeah.
most.
We couldn't, the goal was for her to have a baby, not necessarily to just experience. Like if Jamie could have taken her egg and put it in my body, like that, I think would have been her ideal. So
I mean,
she didn't
then
have
I wouldn't
to,
have to go through all this body stuff.
You know, so we weren't ready to have.
To give up.
An egg donor and a sperm donor. And then implant. Like, we weren't ready to go there. And we had been working with him now 3 years,
yeah,
4 years almost.
Yeah. So.
So you broke up with him?
So we went home, we talked about it, and we kept saying, well, he says something has to change, so let's change
it's
the
you.
Doctor.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. So we talked to
Oh, my God, does anyone
friends.
Even say that anymore?
Yes,
like
people
110.
Do. Bye, Felicia.
I feel like it's, like, old ladies who want to sound like they're young, like I am.
That's us. It's okay. Fun. There's nothing wrong
so
with
So you
that.
Left him, and you went to the...
So we
the big
yeah we went to a much bigger place, which was like a factory for fertility.
Yeah, like one of the major hospitals in
and
New York.
And I loved it because it was so anonymous. So also during this whole hiatus that we had between doctors, I I took some matters into my own hands too and started finally reading.
You started having sex with the mailman?
I did.
You'll see when the first time when this hearing comes out.
Yeah, no, I started, for whatever reason it took me this long to do this, I started reading books and researching. You know, mm-hmm. everything up to this point had been Google searches.
Sure.
But I found these books and learned about egg quality and how I could possibly, it could just be my egg quality, and that's improvable according to these books with these supplements you can take.
Interesting.
Yes.
At one point, I think Jamie was taking like 10 pills a day, like over the counter.
And acupuncture.
All natural.
Acupuncture. I've heard of some success from that.
Yeah.
Well.
But the book that really like mapped it out for me was called It All Starts With the Egg, which I can talk more about next time. I'll bring it. But it was really helpful, and it had like a supplement program for people of different ages. And mm-hmm. if this is your problem, then you should take this route with your supplements and things like that.
I mean, so we changed our shampoo, our bath soap.
Oh, I also got
seriously?
Rid of everything we were eating. Parabens and...
Yes. We went around with our iPhones scanning things. Oh, that goes in the garbage.
Now, are you all in on this, or are you just like, geez, I got pregnant right away.
I'm like, well, okay, let's go.
Yeah. It's skeptical, I think.
Skeptical, but it's
but you're willing to do it, right?
Yeah, it's easier to play along.
Sure.
Got rid of plastics. Yeah. We
lived in a bubble.
Yes.
On a farm in Vermont.
Was there too.
Yeah. So
Bernie Sanders was my doctor.
So we told this new doctor that I had been doing these supplements and acupuncture. And so she said, well, why don't we just try with a couple IUIs? Or I asked, can we just try some IUIs? Because I really felt in my heart that I could get pregnant through IUI. I really felt it in my heart. And I really also felt in my heart that I could get pregnant with my egg.
You just had that feeling.
I just knew, like,
she
this
said
is not.
Also,
yeah.
though, that she wanted to try IUI first, the doctor.
And it's like, also, there was some medicine involved where they actually did tests and said, you probably can get pregnant.
That's us in a nutshell. There you go.
You were like, I feel it in my heart.
so we go.
To me.
So.
Yeah, it was the doctor.
I heard this voice from beyond. Okay, so your supplements, you do an IUI.
I'm on this whole now new regime. We do one round of IUI at the new place. It doesn't take. Mm-hmm. And we still have another vial, so we think, all right, let's do it. We do our second round, and it took.
And
crazy.
Baby makes four.
Well, the fun part, it's 2017, so we actually found out it was the major snowstorm of 2017 where they closed the schools the night before in New York City, and so we had off that day, and the snow in Manhattan's never that bad, and Jamie's like, I'm not going to go for the pregnancy test. I know I'm not pregnant. I know it didn't take. I don't want to go. It's terrible out. I'm like, just go. Let's let the doctor tell us that it's a no.
You didn't do pregnancy tests at home?
This was the first one I didn't do, a single home pregnancy test. Because
you were just
first
like,
one.
I just can't.
Yeah, because I was, like I said, I was getting to that point where it was getting to be hard to get the negative.
Yeah, so then she comes back home. We're sitting around the house because you can't really go outside yet. And all of a sudden the phone rings and it's a number that I don't recognize. So I'm joking like, who is that? Who's calling you? What's going on? And so I hear Jamie talking to them, and then all of a sudden I hear them say his blood type, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're asking about his blood type. She's pregnant.
Yeah.
So we're scrambling in our cabinet to get the donor file to find out his blood type, to find out, because Jamie doesn't even know her blood type. Helpful.
By the way, I don't either. Why would you know that?
Okay, thanks. I'm glad. See you.
Because you donate blood?
No. I mean, but it's on a cart. Well, we're not going to. It's fine.
Anyway. So
all's well that ended well.
So yeah, so now I'm pregnant. I'm in my seventh month.
All right.
It's crazy.
Well, thank you for stopping by. This was a great story.
Yeah.
And
thanks. Hopefully everybody else thinks it's great.
I know.
Jamie's going to keep stopping by because she's the co-host and co-founder.
We got a lot more stories coming at you.
Right,
I won't be back unless there's something wrong with this one.
Oh my God, Jamie. We just nailed episode one.
We did it. We told my story.
Which is
exciting. I think it needs to be out there. People need
to
know.
I feel like the inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah.
About how you made babies.
I think so.
So let's just, before we go, let's highlight a couple of things from your fertility story that people might find helpful.
Mm-hmm. So in regards to the books that I found helpful when I was going through the infertility and the herbs, I know the names of them. I have them for you guys, so get your pen and paper out and ready.
Or just
your
pause.
iPhone notes, or you know, whatever, however you like to do it. But the book I found the most helpful was It Starts with the Egg, and it's by Rebecca Fett. The other book was Taking Charge of Your Fertility by Tony Weschler. And that one helped me with I actually also charted my...
Oh my God.
Menstrual cycle.
Did you do basal temperatures and things like that?
I did. I did my basal body temperature for about 4 months.
God.
Which I found very interesting. I didn't check my cervix, though.
I don't want to know any of that.
I didn't
about
do that.
Myself or you, quite yeah, frankly.
You don't have to know any of that. But I didn't do that. But I did find the charting interesting. All right. Really did. So, you know, you might not get that much support from your doctor on this, but I definitely... Highlights that I want to stress from my story are just definitely take this into your own hands and do some research on your own. I know it can be tough. And so do what you can to stay afloat and do your research and find things that help you.
All
right. And hopefully this podcast does.
Yes. And we're gonna do one question from an avid fan.
Ooh.
Even though it's the first episode, we have fans. Isn't that crazy?
It's amazing.
It's like magic. Mm. So at Kimberly Burrow, she wants to know, how'd you two meet?
Well, that's a fun story.
Is it?
It's kind of like your average lesbian friend story.
Friend of friend?
Friend of friend.
I mean, I feel like...
We met at a... Yeah.
I don't know.
I do. I remember the first time I remember meeting you, because we might have met before.
So I was like forgettable before that? That's awful.
No. But you know how sometimes you meet friends of friends, and then you meet them again, and your wife is like, no, that's Robin and Mary. You met them last time. But I'm not even sure if that happened. I just know that my first recollection of meeting you is at that Pride picnic.
Oh.
At the annual Pride picnic that we go to.
You didn't have a baby yet, did I? Don't.
We had Rose. Well, the first time we went, we had our daughter.
I feel like I didn't know you, didn't know you, didn't know you, and then I just knew you. I'm missing.
No, we met at this. A bunch of our friends go to this family pride picnic. By a bunch, I mean like two other couples.
It started off as like four, and every year like wanes.
And it's
less.
All have kids, but always we go to this pride picnic, and it's kind of fun, and the kids play in the playground, and there's like face painting, and then we all go to a bar close by after, and that's when the real fun happens.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I remember the bar.
And that's when the bonding happens.
And coincidentally enough, at the Pride picnic this year is when Jamie asked me to do the podcast with her. She was like, I have this idea. Let's do it. And I was like, I'm in.
And I didn't know how much of a go-getter you were, Robin.
I can't stop myself.
We are going.
I can't
stop
myself.
Which is great. I love it. So
I feel like there's a hit. Can't stop, won't stop.
There's
kind of
a song.
Kanye thing happening there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's our that's our fan question.
We're really
of the day.
Good at being vague.
I know. So before we wrap up episode one, we just want to say tweet us at Ovaries Talk, or you can pose questions on Facebook, our Facebook page, which is If These Ovaries Could Talk. So that's the name of our show, right?
Right. If These Ovaries Could Talk. Notice the play on words.
I mean,
come on, yeah,
it's layered. All right, eggs, ovaries out.
All right,
see you back episode two.
Welcome to I'm Feeling Queer Today. This season, we're taking a queer road trip all around the country.
Spartanburg, South Carolina. Cape
Cod. Provo, Utah. Columbus, Ohio.
Philadelphia. To answer the big question, what is it like to be queer where you live?
Utah is known as like the Mormon state, but we actually have a really big community, and for the most part, it's really loving.
If I want to be a queer Mormon, I can be a queer Mormon.
I always say I love Columbus. I don't like Ohio.
I'm trans, so like I hope they can see Spartanburg. You can be a reasonably happy queer adult.
Provincetown taught me to be more adventurous. I get free drag shows every day. Just have to look out my window.
You know what place is really cool? Philly. I mean, we have a gayerhood for a reason, you guys.
I'm Feeling Queer Today. New episodes drop every Thursday.